This is Bible Basics, Study 4:8, Responsibility to God. If people had immortal souls, naturally, logically, they would have an eternal destiny somewhere, either in a place of reward or of punishment. This implies that everyone is responsible to God. By contrast, we have shown how the Bible teaches that by nature man is like the animals, without any inherent immortality. However, some men have been offered the prospect of eternal life and God's kingdom. It should be apparent that not everyone who has ever lived will be raised. Like the animals, man lives and dies to decompose into dust. Yet because there will be a judgment, with some being condemned and others rewarded with eternal life, we have to conclude that there will be a certain category among mankind who will be raised in order to be judged and rewarded. Whether or not someone will be raised depends on whether they are responsible to the judgment. The basis of our judgment will be how we have responded to our knowledge of God's word. Christ explained, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." That's John chapter 12, verse 48. Those who have not known or understood the word of Christ and therefore had no opportunity to accept or reject him will not be accountable to the judgment. As many as have sinned without knowing God's law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law, that is, knowing it, will be judged by the law. And that's found in Romans chapter 2, verse 12. Thus, those who have not known God's requirements will perish like the animals, whilst those who knowingly break God's law need to be judged and therefore raised to face that judgment. In God's sight, sin is not imputed when there is no law. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's in Romans chapter 5 verse 13 and Romans chapter 3 verse 20. Without being aware of God's laws as revealed in his word, sin is not imputed to a person, and therefore they will not be raised or judged. Those who do not know God's word will therefore remain dead, as will animals and plants, seeing they are in the same position. Man, who does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. And that's found in Psalm 49, verse 20. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave, and that you will find in Psalm 49, verse 14. It is the knowledge of God's ways that makes us responsible to him for our actions and therefore necessitates our resurrection and appearance at the judgment seat. It should therefore be understood that it is not only the righteous or those baptized who will be raised, but also all who are responsible to God by reason of their knowledge of him. This is an oft-repeated scriptural theme, and here are several examples. Firstly, John chapter 15 verse 22 shows that knowledge of the word brings responsibility. If I, that is Jesus, had not come and spoken to them, they have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. And that's in Romans chapter 1 verses 20 and 21. Likewise, in those verses, Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, he says that knowing God leaves men without excuse. A further point. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learnt from the Father, I, that is Christ, will raise him up at the last day. And that's in chapter 6 of John and verse 44 and 45. Another point. The Lord's attitude at the judgment seat to those who rejected him in the first century will be, "Bring here those enemies of mine," that is out of the grave, and slay them before me. And that is found in Luke chapter 19, verse 27. Another example, whoever will not hear, that is, obey my words, I will require it of him. And that you'll find in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 19. Another example, God only overlooked the actions of those who are genuinely ignorant of his ways. Those who know his ways, he watches and expects a response. And that will be found in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Another example, in the final judgment of the world, it will be the nations that did not obey who are condemned. And that is in Micah chapter 5, verse 15, in the New Revised Standard Version. Their hearing but not obeying God's word will be the basis of their punishment. Another example, because Belshazzar knew he ought to submit to God's superiority but refused, therefore he was punished, and that you will find in Daniel chapter 5, verse 22. Another example, that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few. And that is, for example, by remaining dead. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And that you will find in Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. So, how much more of God? Another example. Therefore, to him who knows how to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That is James chapter 4, verse 17. Further example. Israel's special responsibility to God was on account of his revelations to them concerning himself. That's in Amos chapter 3, verse 2. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil. And that is in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 12. Further point, because of this doctrine of responsibility, it would have been better for them, who later turn back from God, not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And that is in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Other relevant passages include the following, John chapter 9, verse 41, chapter 3, verse 19, the first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 13, Hosea, chapter 4, verse 14, and Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 39. Knowledge of God making us responsible to the judgment seat, it follows that those without this knowledge will not be raised, seeing that they do not need to be judged, and that their lack of knowledge makes them like the beasts that perish. That's in Psalm 49:20. There are ample indications that not all who have ever lived will be raised. For instance, the people of the ancient nation of Babylon will sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake after their death because they were ignorant of the true God. And that you'll find in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 39, and Isaiah 43:17. Furthermore, Isaiah encouraged himself with these words, O Lord, our God, other masters besides you have had dominion over us. For example, the Philistines and the Babylonians. They are dead. They will not live again. They are deceased. They will not rise. All their memory to perish. That you'll find in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 13 and 14. And note the triple emphasis here on their not being raised. For instance, will not live again, will not rise, all their memory to perish. By contrast, Israel had the prospect of resurrection on account of their knowledge of the true God. Your, that is Israel's, dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. And that is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Speaking about God's people Israel, we are told that at Christ's return, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And that is in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Thus many, but not all, of the Jews will be raised, due to their responsibility to God as his chosen people. Those of them who are totally ignorant of their true God shall fall and never rise again, seeing they are unable to find the word of the Lord. That's Amos chapter 8, verses 12 and 14. So we have now learnt that 1. Knowledge of God's word brings responsibility to him, and 2. Only the responsible will be raised and judged, and 3. Those adults who do not know the true God will therefore remain dead like the animals. The implications of these conclusions make a hard hit on human pride and what we would naturally prefer to believe. Our questioning of God's ways in these matters is grossly out of order. O man, who are you to reply against God? Paul says in the letter to Romans chapter 9, verse 20. We may admit incomprehension, but never must we accuse God of injustice or unrighteousness. The implication that God can be in any way unloving or in error opens up the horrific prospect of an all-powerful God, Father and Creator, who treats his creatures in an unreasonable and unjust way. Finally, it has to be said that many people, on grasping this principle of responsibility to God, feel that they do not wish to gain any more knowledge of him in case they become responsible to him and the judgment. Yet, to some degree, it is likely that such people are already responsible to God, seeing their knowledge of God's word has made them aware of the fact that God is working in their lives, offering them a real relationship with him. It must ever be remembered that God is love. He is not willing that any should perish, and gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those verses are 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, John chapter 3, verse 16. God wants us to be in his kingdom. Such an honor and privilege inevitably bring responsibilities, yet these are not designed to be too heavy or onerous for us. If we truly love God, we will appreciate that his offer of salvation is not an automatic reward for certain works, but a loving desire on his part to do all that he can for us children, to grant them an eternal life of happiness through their appreciation of his marvelous character. As we come to appreciate and hear the call of God to us through his word, we will realize that as we walk through the crowds, God is watching us with a special intensity, eagerly seeking signs of our response to his love, rather than waiting for us to fail to live up to our responsibilities. Never is that loving eye off us. Never can we forget or undo our knowledge of him in order to indulge the flesh, free of responsibility to God. Instead, we can and should rejoice in the special closeness we have to God, and so trust in the greatness of his love, that we ever seek to know more of him rather than less. our love of God's ways and desire to know them so that we might more accurately copy him, should outweigh our natural fear of his supreme holiness.